Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Joe O Show.
It's yours. It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
You're listening to the Joe Ostrowski Show, nights on 670 The Score.
And in for Joe O on the Joe O Show, I'm Anthony Herron. You hear me a lot here on The Score. Where you often don't hear me at, though, is in the culinary studio. That's where I'm coming to you from right now here at 670 The Score. A fun game, a hotly contested game. Just heard Zach Zaman finishing off the Cubs post-game show. After the Cubs down the Rockies 10-1, it was a fun game for me as a football guy, because when things started to get testy on the baseball diamond and the fun police, I think probably to a certain extent, I think the fun police and the folks like me who don't mind when folks are pimping home runs and doing some of the other things that perhaps the old guard in baseball aren't cool with. In situations where you got a star player getting hit multiple times in a game and you got another star player getting his head thrown at when bombs are getting hit near 500 feet and when folks are slow trotting around the bases, eyeballing pitchers and managers who are best friends, they said, be damned to that. And it was a nice sort of, no real fracas that was there, but it was fun to watch the intensity of the game today. Game that, I'd say the importance of the game later on in the season and after the All-Star break, we're not necessarily going to think back to beating the Rockies today as an important victory for the Cubs. But it's one that, to me, I think does matter, because after, I believe it was, five road losses in a row the Cubs had coming into this one, it was important to be able to right the ship, because right now everything is about, for the time being, you could use the term keeping pace with the Milwaukee Brewers, perhaps trying to surpass them at some point, but in the least keeping pace with them until Craig Kimbrell is ready, till you got that whole bullpen ready to roll. And it was a game that, after dropping the first two, after a great series against St. Louis, beating them at home, kind of returning the favor on the sweep against the Cards, to come back and drop a couple in Colorado on the road, that certainly wasn't how the Cubs wanted to or needed to start off this particular series. But they got one back today, and they got it back in big fashion. 10-1, the final count, as the Cubs down the Rockies. So we got a nice show. We're going to have some fun throughout the show tonight. Going to be joined pretty soon here by Mark Grody in the culinary studio, and we're going to talk a lot of Cubs, as per usual here on The Score, with where they sit right now in the lexicon of baseball. But we're also going to talk some Bears. Grody and I have talked about it on the station a couple of times, sort of in short form, just the time I had over at the orange carpet with the Bears for the Bears 100 over the weekend. I was there on Friday with Fox 32. We had the one-hour orange carpet special that we did live from the orange carpet. It was a great time. Myself, Luke Kanellis, Sierra Santos, we were out there holding it down. I was suited and booted, as were the rest of the folks on the air with us. A variety of different sort of dress, from the Bears, from the former players, the current players, the legends as they were walking the orange carpet. But it was a really fun night. And so, especially once Groats gets in here in studio with me, we're going to be able to have a good time recounting some of those things that we had going on from the orange carpet, because he was there covering it for The Score. He was looking good, as I told him when I was on when I did a segment with him and Shep on Sunday. But between Sunday and Monday, you've heard a bit from me about the orange carpet, a few things, some of the stuff that I've posted on social media at Big Ant Herron on my Twitter account, BIGANTHERRON. You've heard from me a bit about the orange carpet. I've posted some photos there on my Twitter and on my Instagram, and a couple of the videos with some of the luminaries that came out on stage. I want to talk a bit about the production of the orange carpet special as well. It was really, really well done. I got a couple of shots that I haven't shared, just being up on the stage, on the dais that they were doing the entire production from of the orange carpet and all the, you know, as the crowd was going wild and folks were super excited about the various decades that were represented from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and today, essentially. I feel like I'm a music DJ here. But to have all those different Bears luminaries represented at different points throughout the evening, and then to have the crowd get the opportunity to recognize them, you know, in a way, individually, like not, you know, one player at a time, but one decade at a time. I thought just from an organizational standpoint, that made sense to do it in that fashion because you had a couple of hundred, you know, various Bears that were there. And then you had the separate, you know, sort of special moment with all the Hall of Famers on the stage who were able to make it in. And the Gale Sayers moment, that was one video that I did end up posting. So I'll have a chance to go in a little further detail about that just from being there beforehand, seeing some of the behind the scenes and the full production that went into it and some of the private moments I was able to share with some of the former Bears and current Bears and some folks around the NFL who had a great time being there at the orange carpet. You know, it's one of those things where you do it once every 100 years, apparently. You celebrate a centennial. I know there's some fans who apparently were upset about how things went with autograph lines and you know, some tickets and things like that. So, you know, certainly wasn't a perfect affair, but it was certainly, I think, overall a success that the Bears had. We'll talk a little bit about the debut of the uniforms as well. When Grody does get in here, I also want to address a bit, because we're going to be on with you tonight from now, essentially, until 10 p.m. this evening. And one of the things that, and Grody and I have had some fun debating things such as this on the air before, and we've had our fake Twitter spats that our boss Mitch Rosen got all worked up about, where he thought I was going to slug Grody or something like that. No, it's hard to be angry at a guy like Mark Grody, but he's got a little fun police in him, and it's not just the sport of baseball that the fun police are out in full force this particular week, but for any of you who've been paying attention to the Women's World Cup and what's been going on, Team USA won 13-0 over Thailand in a game yesterday. And I've definitely got some thoughts on that. I shared some thoughts about that particular result, how it played out, and how the fun police are out trying to tell the girls how they need to handle their business too. So I'm going to share some thoughts on that later in the show. And then, of course, in the midst of the NBA Finals and everything that went down the other night with KD, just from an athlete's perspective, and I was talking to Herb about this a bit before the show with Herb Lawrence on the other side of the glass in there. Well, at least I guess down the hall at this point, since I'm in the culinary studio, but I was talking to Herb about this a bit before the air. We definitely want to get into some Kevin Durant talk and the NBA Finals and how athletes end up finding themselves in certain situations. The medical information that you receive from the team, the opportunities that you have to get second and in some cases third opinions, especially an athlete the magnitude of Kevin Durant before you step back onto the court, but then the juxtaposition of what they were dealing with the NBA Finals is that you have the ticking clock of the season potentially ending in Game 5 and what that could potentially mean for the Golden State Warriors. So we're going to get into that in some detail also. And I know plenty of White Sox fans out there too, and we've been talking more and more about the Sox here on the station. The season, to me, what I want to know from any White Sox fans out there, and you know the number, 312-644-6767 is the line to call, 312-644-6767. If you do end up wanting to talk some Sox, one of the things I specifically want to know from White Sox fans is where the season stands right now between the growth of Yoan Moncada, the mashability that we're seeing from Eloy Jimenez, what's happening with Lucas Giolito looking like a Cy Young candidate, perhaps a Cy Young front runner. Is the season, if it just continues at this level, is the season a success? I mean, as long as no one gets injured, is the season already a success? Because, you know, you couldn't realistically want or at least expect the Sox to make a postseason run, and they continue to hover around the 500 mark. What is this season? Where does it sit for you right now? Because being around 500, having the potential mathematically for wild card position, I don't think it would make any sense for them to start making moves at the trade deadline. They've essentially said they're not going to. But with that being the case, what's left this season other than fun from what we've seen? Tim Anderson, the emergence of him as a star in Major League Baseball. Our White Sox fans, are you almost kind of satisfied at this point? I'm very curious to hear from you on that topic and others. So we got a lot of time to be able to talk all kinds of ball here. So I'm going to be with you from now until 10 p.m. this evening. Be joined in just a few minutes by my guy Mark Grody as well. For now, we'll take a quick timeout. Come back at the top of the hour. We're going to talk all kinds of sports, Chicago and beyond, right here on 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Lines one, center field base hit. One run is in. Caratini will be held. Nope, he's going to score now. The ball bobbled in center by Desmond. Cubs lead 2-0. Here's the stretch and the pitch on the way to Schwarber. Hit high in the air. Deep right field. Back toward the wall. It's got a chance. Gone. Get out the tape measure for Kyle Schwarber. Up into the seats. Above the bullpen in right center. Cubs lead 5-0.
This one is lined. It'll drop in. Base hit in a left center field. One run is in. Two runs are in. And the throw to third gets Caratini. No, he dropped the ball. The third baseman McMahon dropped the ball. The umpire at third, Gary Cederstrom, was ready to ring him up, but McMahon could not hang on to the ball. So the Cubs have runners at the corners on the two-run single by Cole Hamels.
Now Baez waits for the 1-2, and it's on the way, and it's swung on and drilled in the air. Get out the tape measure. Long gone, and Baez watches it go way over the fence in left center. And the Cubs lead 10-0. It's a swing and a miss. Strike three, and the ball game is over. Brock strikes out Tapia. The Cubs win it by a score of 10-1.
You know the voice. Pat Hughes, 10-1 was the final count. Cubs defeating the Rockies. And I'm Anthony Herron. We're here at 670 Score. I'm in the culinary studio, so if you hear a, I would assume my dulcet tones sound fairly standard, but there may be a bit of echo that reverberates a bit, especially over the next 4 hours as I get loud on occasion, if I get a little bit excited about certain things with some of the topics we're going to have coming up tonight. But I'm in a more expansive space than I normally am when I'm here on The Score with all the fun, new, exciting types of construction and remodeling that are going on over here, the pardon our dust type of vibe that's happening here at Intercom Studios. It's pretty cool to walk in and see it on occasion. I actually brought my family in here with me briefly before I came on the air, my wife, my son. They've never seen the actual studio that's down the hall, and it came in today. And I actually didn't realize that we weren't going to be in the regular studio when we showed up, but I got a few in-laws who were in town as well, so they saw the culinary studio, which I enjoy being in here. Normally I'm eating when I'm down here in the culinary area, so there's not any food with me yet, but somewhere over the course of the next 4 hours, maybe I'll figure out a way to get some snacks coming on down here. The phone line that I referenced before we went to the top of the hour, 312-644-6767. Cubs victory 10-1 over the Rockies that you heard right here on The Score. And, you know, I know with some of the things I was talking about beforehand, some folks on the text line, you know, some folks, you know, somewhat agreeing, but some like, oh, well, how can you be satisfied or be happy about losing a series to the Rockies? Well, Rockies have been a good ball club this year, but aside from that, I'm not saying it's the result the Cubs would have wanted overall, dropping the first two and then finally winning a game today, but losing a game today would be even worse. And so to come out where your bats come alive, where you got Cole Hamels to me, I would say the most dependable pitcher on the staff. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, obviously Kyle Hendricks has been pretty stellar this season as well. I think from a versatility standpoint, where there's still a level of stuff that's there from Cole Hamels, where the variety of batters that he can shut down, occasionally overpower while also painting the corners in ways too. I mean, it's, you know, it's a bit of a toss-up to me, but to me, when Hamels is at his best, he can mow lineups down in a way that, while Kyle Hendricks has been pretty spectacular this season also, if I'm doing a hierarchy right now for the Cubs staff, I'm going sort of a 1A with Hamels and a 1B with Hendricks, but a very close one in my opinion. So that being said, you get another great outing from Hamels. He shuts down the opposing lineup. Cubs come out, bats are popping, and there's a little bit of a dust-up out there with folks throwing at Javi after throwing at Bryant, and Cubs are throwing at folks too. So, I mean, you get that type of vibe in there where there's some intensity out on the field too. Then I think that matters. And I think it matters that the Cubs were able to come out to respond to that, you know, do it with a little bit of swag, do it with a little bit of bravado, as we know Javi has no problem showing a little bit of that swag and that bravado that he tends to take onto the diamond with him every time he steps out there. So I enjoyed that part of it. I enjoyed that aspect of the game. Things got a little bit chippy out there, and the Cubs responded to it in the way that you would hope they do. They responded not only by retaliating, I suppose, throwing at the Rockies a bit, but they responded with their bats as well. Their bats were really loud, did a whole lot of talking in the game today, and to get swept by the Rockies would have been a terrible result after sweeping your division rival, your regional rival, the St. Louis Cardinals. You don't want to go on the road to Colorado and not only and eventually drop your sixth game in the row, but you don't want to go out there and get swept by a good team, but not a great team like the Rockies. So to come with today's win and put yourself in a position where you're at least still keeping pace with Milwaukee, these aren't the games you can afford to drop, whether home or away, when you're right there and you know the Brewers are playing like one of the best teams in baseball and have throughout this season. So now, right now, from a record standpoint, both 38-29, tied right now in the NL Central Division. So the result of the game for the Cubs, specifically as we look at today, certainly a positive for them. And I think overall, just with the energy, with the tenacity that was there on the field, ends up making a difference to me in the way I interpret how that game played out. Now, 312-644-6767 is the phone number to call. We had a couple on the line a moment ago, so we will come right back to the phone lines in a minute. But my thoughts on the Cubs at large, when we think about this season, because I was talking about what progress means for the White Sox a bit before we got to the top of the hour, and I'll come back to that when I'm talking a little bit more White Sox, especially once Grody gets in here a little bit later. But one of the questions that I would pose to you out there in Cubdom is, you know, with some of the All-Star results coming out at this point in the season, you know, wherever we're setting the bar for how we view various organizations. Like right now, I would view the White Sox, as I was referencing a minute ago, as a ball club right now that who cares about the postseason? Who cares about the wins and losses of each individual game? Just like I was talking about with the Bears a couple of seasons back in Mitch Trubisky's rookie year. That year for the Bears, well, whatever they were, 6-10, that wasn't about wins and losses. That was about development. That was about seeing how promising is the young talent that you're starting to assemble. That's not where the Cubs are, of course. And so to have the All-Star voting where right now Wilson Contreras right now first at his position in All-Star voting, Javi Baez, of course, first amongst his position in All-Star voting, Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant both second at their respective positions in All-Star voting. And to me, it's still a cool honor. And, you know, it's something that the fans still get a lot out of. The site that hosts the All-Star game, firstly, you know, certainly gets their financial benefit from having it in their city and having the baseball world descend upon them at that time. But one thing I'm curious about to you guys as Cub fans, does the All-Star game still matter to you? Are you still, like, you've obviously been voting. You know, when you've got a number of Cubs players, what is it? We got 1, 2, 3, got 4 Cubs players in the top 2 in voting at their particular position. So obviously Cubs fans are voting, they're supporting their guys. But does it matter to you much who plays in the All-Star game? Who makes the All-Star game and whether or not they play in it? Do you still want to see your guys in that game? Or does it matter more to you with all the baseball that they've played, with all the postseason at-bats that there have been, with as banged up as Chris Bryant tends to get, whether it's stepping on a base or whether it's getting beamed by the opposing team, whatever the case may be, whether it's running into a teammate, he's been banged up a lot over the last few years. So is that a situation where you hope Chris Bryant makes the All-Star game and for the honor, for the prestige of it, plays in the All-Star game? Or do you prefer that a player like Chris Bryant, for what we've seen, you know, still a young guy in age and waiting on the big contract, that if he keeps swinging the bat like he did for a certain stretch in the season, that he's going to have the potential to go out there and do great things and get his big contract? Or, as my guy Groats is walking into the culinary studio here, looking forward to him joining this part of the discussion, one thing that I'm posing to the folks, just to make sure you can hear it, Mark Grody, is whether or not the All-Star game still matters, whether or not Cubs fans are still excited about the fact that Contreras and Baez are leading in voting at their position, that Rizzo and Bryan are second in voting at their position? Or is it something where, you know what, folks are just like, I don't care about that. I'm not concerned with them even playing in the game. Who cares where the All-Star voting ends up? I just want to worry about postseason play. I want a healthy squad. I want a team that's playing as well as they can once we get into October, and that's the main focus for Cubs fans. Because where each franchise is, where each organization is at in its development, these different things will matter. Tim Anderson, where he's at in the All-Star voting, to me it matters for the White Sox. It matters for Tim Anderson. You know, you start to get those spurs on the wall if you're younger in your development as an organization, as a player, if you haven't necessarily had those individual accolades. It was one of the things that I talked a lot the year after the World Series, where there weren't really that, you know, aside from Chris Bryant, the year of the World Series, there weren't a lot of guys who had a lot of individual accolades. And so that was one of the things that surprised me a lot in 2017, was the way the club responded and had the slow start. And, you know, it seemed like there was a bit of apathy early in the year. And then that seemed to sort of carry on throughout the year. And to me, having that huge team goal and attaining that World Series victory, that mattered. It was a huge deal, not just here in Chicago, but in the sports world where the curse was broken. But then in coming back the following year, where you still have a lot of those young guys who, after attaining that huge team goal and making history for the organization and for the city of Chicago, there's still a lot of guys individually that were super young that really hadn't done much as individuals yet. And so I found myself really surprised the year after the Cubs World Series that you didn't see more production from the younger guys on the ball club. You didn't see them continuing to ascend in the way that I would have anticipated the youth and the talent that the Cubs had ascending after coming off that World Series. Now, at this point, now you can look at more players and say, all right, there's certainly productivity. There's certainly a roster and a lineup that's ascending, that you're seeing the level of productivity you would hope from them. And to me, I wonder whether or not something like the All-Star game, which to me mattered more, in my opinion, should matter to Cubs individual players, and I believe maybe to Cubs fans, mattered more a couple of years ago, where it was still kind of cool. It was still kind of catchy to watch Anthony Rizzo in an All-Star game, to watch Chris Bryant in an All-Star game, you know, to see Javi Baez out there amongst the leading vote-getters last year and what he's done in bursting onto the scene and being one of the most popular players in baseball. I think from an individual standpoint, a couple of years ago, those things were really cool. I wonder now if Cub fans still care about that, or is it really just all about October at this point as we view not just the team, but view the individuals on this team and what we view as their true accomplishments. Who's been getting voted the All-Star games, guys who do it double-digit times in their career. Mark Grody, you got your mic hot now. How you doing this evening?
I am doing great, man. I beat the Edens. I'm here.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm a little bit late.
No.
I'm coming from Halas Hall for another full day of Bears mini camp and enjoying listening to the Anthony Aaron show. I didn't want to interrupt it, man. I went
Oh,
back.
No. Yeah. No interruption here.
Bears.
We're going to have a lot of fun throughout the night as we get through the evening here. But as we were talking Cubs in the moment just now, and I did tell folks you and I were going to not only talk a lot of Bears, but also have our soccer debate as well. I really want to talk fun in soccer with you because I know you're the fun police.
Yeah, but I was okay with that. Like with the, honestly, in watching that game, so I was at Halas Hall watching. Uh-huh. Did it turn out to be 13-0 Team USA?
It did. Well, do you want to talk about it now? Or you want to talk about it later?
Well, we can talk about it right now, really
okay.
quickly.
All right.
Because we were watching it out. We had it on at Halas Hall for the mini camp in the media room, and we're all watching and we're all amazed by it. And the first thing I did think was, "Oh my goodness, gluttonous USA! Here we go, USA piling on." And I only worried about it relative to what the rest of the country thought of us because I'm very proud to be an American,
right?
But and I don't like it when they
you weren't going to like renounce your citizenship because of the results.
No. I'm very proud, but like sometimes I'm not proud of what we do. But I'm always protecting us as Americans,
right? Our brand, the American brand.
Absolutely. Like, look. I know that this is not cool. What we do sometimes, but hey, I just understand.
Yeah.
So that's what's going through my mind. I'm like, oh man, like call off the dogs. It's 13 and other gluttonous, poor little Thailand, and this country that people from the USA like to visit. But
the dollar goes a long way in Thailand.
But I understand that scoring counts or like the goals matter, like,
right?
In
tiebreakers,
so like once I heard that, I was totally cool with it. So no fun police here Okay. I was like, all right, no, they're proving their point, and it looks good. And if that actually helped that they won 13-0 over Thailand, then that is totally cool, man. Totally cool.
Right, good. I'm glad we agree on that part of the topic. There's a little bit more over the course of the next 3 hours, 45 minutes that we can get into with the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team as well, as it relates to their compensation, as it relates to the way that they finished the game, whether or not their celebrations were too extensive. So there's some of those things that later in the show we can kind of chop it up on a little bit also. But the topic I was just broaching with the Cubs, I'm a little bit curious about, because now we're getting some numbers on the All-Star voting, and just curious whether or not, because I was just saying, thinking about a couple of years ago, how that it felt like a really big deal, and being an All-Star, being a professional sports All-Star, is a huge deal no matter what. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering from Cubs fans, though, from their perspective, whether or not that still matters. Like, okay, Tim Anderson, if he's an All-Star for the first time, that's going to be amazing. The White Sox really haven't done anything in a long time. So for him, where they're at as an organization, where I still don't think, even though they've been, right there hovering around 500, maybe the wild card could be a possibility, maybe not, but I still don't think that should matter yet this season for them. But the Cubs are kind of sort of towards the opposite end of the spectrum, where they're a few years into this thing. Their rebuild was years ago. Now they're in that championship or bust mode. So I'm wondering, now that you got some guys who've made their All-Star games now, does it still matter to Cubs fans?
I think it'll always matter to fans, because fans, it's the civic pride and the personal pride they take in their teams, and especially if a guy gets snubbed. If a player that should be in doesn't make it, then they're going to go to bat, so to speak, for their players. However, I'll say this. I mean, with the Cubs players, we know that there's some made men on the Cubs. Chris Bryant is a made man. He won an MVP. We know that Anthony Rizzo is a made man. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see both those guys make the All-Star team. Javier Baez, believe it or not, he is a made man. Mm-hmm. He was runner-up in MVP last year. He's going to be in the picture this year. He homered again today, a big two-run blast, number 17 on the season. So he is a made man. It would be a big deal if somebody like Kyle Schwarber was to make the All-Star team this year. A really big deal, I think, to Cubs fans, because it would connote good things for another one of the core players and a guy who I think that a lot of us thought the proverbial he is what he is. And if he does get to a point where he is named an All-Star, that's a big deal right there. I think it would be a big deal if somebody like Kyle Hendricks was to make an All-Star team. A guy, who I don't think a lot of people thought when he was first traded to the Cubs from the Texas Rangers that he would end up being an All-Star type of guy. I mean, just the fact that he became a part of a championship core and starting rotation, I think, was an accomplishment for a guy that throws the way he does in this era. So, yeah, I think that there's a couple of guys where Cubs fans would be pretty excited if they were to get in. But for the most part, and I love this, I've always said this about Cubs fans in this era, that greed is good, a sense of entitlement is good, because the Cubs fans were the antithesis of that for so many years, where it was a loser's lament. And now we're talking about World Series as the standard, to where if they don't get at least to the World Series, there is some disappointment involved in that. We're talking about a championship manager possibly being fired at the end of this season, which is ridiculous, because I love Joe Maddon for my time covering the guy, and I do think he's a good manager. But at the same time, I'm conflicted, because I like the fact that this team has been to the playoffs every year under Joe Maddon, and they're still the standard is set so high that they're talking about maybe Joe Maddon doesn't come back next year. Even though it makes no sense to me that they actually want Joe Maddon to do more, but they're not sure if they want to give him a long-term contract. Like, I don't understand that part of it. I mean, that seems very hypocritical.
Yeah.
Like, we're not sure if we want you back. However, we want you to manage more.
Yeah.
We'd like you to work with the infield a little bit more.
Get your fingers in there with the players, get into the nitty-gritty.
We don't know if you like you, but for our team, we'd like you to coach more and be more of an influence on the field. Yeah. So it's a complete conflict of interest
Step forward. Yeah. Get involved, Joe.
Yeah, when I think about those things. But, I mean, it's a great place that the Cubs are, that where it used to be, Sammy Sosa and maybe Ryan Sandberg back in the day being perennial All-Stars, like that was like a big deal. That's what you could count on. That was your Cubs entertainment. But now you actually have accomplished sustained success, which has never been accomplished by the Cubs. I mean, you had mini sustained success in 2007 and 2008, the Lupinella years. But beyond that, I mean, 84 was its own little one-year wonder. 89, same deal. 98, a wild card season, same entity. It was its own little world. 2003. I thought that was going to be sustained, honestly. When you had,
yeah, it felt like it should have been, right?
When you had that core of players, yeah. I thought that that was going to be sustained. So for the first time since 2015, you actually have a chance to be in the tournament every year and a chance to go to the World Series every year. So that's what it's about for the Cubs. You want to talk a little bit more about this Cubs game? I got some things I want to dig into.
Yes, yes.
About the Cubs 10-1 win over the Rockies. And a brilliant Cole Hamels performance. I want to tell you about what I thought was the most important part of the game, and it had to do with a lot of Rockies being on base. And I heard you allude to it, man. Today was a day where there was a lot of baseballs being thrown at people, and it was just sort of subtle. Well, it wasn't really subtle, but the benches never cleared.
Right.
They could have cleared last night, but there certainly was some revenge today. And as I was at Halas Hall today, I'm watching the Bears, and I'm listening to Pat Hughes, and I'm listening to Ron Coomer, and I heard some great stuff from Ron Coomer that I don't know if Anthony Heron will like it. I'm not sure. It's a little old school. We'll see.
We shall see. Plenty of time to chop that up. We got Greg and Waukegan, who's on the line, wants to talk a little bit about the Sox success. So hold on with us, Greg. We're going to take a time out, and then we'll come back. We will talk a lot of Cubs. We will talk some Sox, the comp between the two teams, where they're at in their development. I'd say there should be a lot of pretty happy baseball fans in the city, but what are they exactly happy about? We're getting a lot of response on the text line from these as well. He is Mark Grody. I am Anthony Heron. We're going to be here till 10 p.m. this evening in for Joe Ostrowski. Continue to call and text in as you would like. The text line 67011 is how you get us there. Phone line 312-644-6767. He's Mark Grody. I'm Anthony Heron. This is 670 The Score.
Here's the stretch and the pitch on the way to Schwarber. Hit high in the air. Deep right field. Back toward the wall. It's got a chance. Gone. Get out the tape measure for Kyle Schwarber. Up into the seats. Above the bullpen in right center. Cubs lead 5-0.
Over the Rockies, so they salvage one. Do the Cubs, they lose the series, they drop 2 out of 3 to the Rocks at this mathematical moment. The Cubs and Milwaukee Brewers tied for first place in the National League Central. Milwaukee is at Houston tonight, getting underway in just a little bit. Brandon Woodruff against Justin Verlander. As we welcome you back in on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, along with Big Ant Anthony Heron, I'm Mark Grody. And we want you to be part of our show. 312-644-6767. Talking baseball, Cubs, and White Sox right now. We'll talk some Bears in our 7 o'clock hour with Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times. I will also have my Bears report and the 3 key cuts from the day that we'll get into a little bit later. For Schwarber, the great Schwarbino, that was home run number 14. He does it in the second inning. As you heard Pat Hughes say here on 670 The Score, it made the score 5-0 at the time. Javier Baez, home run number 17. Cole Hamels was excellent again. 7 shutout innings, allowing 6 hits, struck out 9, walked 1. He's now 6-2 with a 2.98 ERA. And this following up Hamels' 10 strikeout performance against St. Louis from this past Friday, the 8 shutout innings. So he has put together back-to-back brilliant starts for the Cubs. And we'll talk more about the Cubs here in a second and what was the key inning for the Cubs. And we'll also talk about what Ron Coomer had to say about the Cubs as well. But I see, Big Ant, that Greg in Waukegan has been waiting to talk about the White Sox. Greg, thanks for waiting. You are on the score.
Thank you for taking my call. What I think about the White Sox is they said 3 to 5 year period as far as when they should be competitive and everything like that. You really don't know when your competitive window really is. You really don't. That's no guarantee that you're going to be competitive or whatever you're going to be competing in 4 or 5 years. I thought they could have pushed that envelope with some good offseason signings, which I didn't think that they took advantage of that. I think, they did a half measure thing and got a DH that can hit. some fringe, another just other fringe players. Whereas some players was out there. Morgan was out there. The right fielder from that used to be with Cleveland. He's out. He was out there. You know, these people are out there, and we put all our eggs into signing someone's brother-in-law and his best friend, and did a half measure on this guy anyway.
Yeah.
Instead of really going out and getting pitching and going and getting the right fielder, which would kind of put accelerated this window here. And this window, yes, it's looking promising, but year to year, you just don't know. You don't know if these players are going to be the same players next year, Giolito, even though his stuff looks great. Well, you just don't know. It's a year-to-year thing sometimes, unless you got great players such as the Cubs or the Dodgers or the Yankees.
Right. But I get the premise of where you're coming from, Greg, but the thing is, with all the youth, and we know how the rebuild began, where you cut loose all the different, tradable assets that were there that were worthy of someone giving you high-level prospects in return, and now they're in the process of nurturing those high-level prospects. So to go out and spend bigger money on free agents, it doesn't seem like that would have made sense for where the White Sox are at right now, because we're still waiting on more of the youth to, we're expecting Dylan Cease is going to be in the majors at some point this season. We saw Michael Kopech come up last year. Now he's having the Tommy John surgery, so he'll be back the following season. We know what's happening right now with Eloy Jimenez as he's come up. Yoan Moncada has made big strides this season. Maybe Luis Robert is going to be up next year or something like that. So, I mean, there's so much youth right now that they had in their system that's sort of consistently working its way up towards the major league level. To go out and spend bigger on free agents who really aren't going to put you in a World Series scenario right now, it seems like that would have flown in the face of the rebuild that we've seen the White Sox begin, what is essentially, two-plus seasons ago at this point. I think that it would have been too soon to go out and make those type of moves.
Yeah, and I'll say this in somewhat of agreement with Greg, was it?
Yeah, Greg. It was Greg. Mm-hmm.
Like, there's only 2 days of the week that really matter for the White Sox right now, and those are the days in which either Lucas Giolito or Reynaldo Lopez is pitching. Because when Ivan Nova goes to the mound, or Manny Buñuelos, or Odris Amer Despaigne, as happened recently, it's like, wah, wah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't feel great. Now, yes, there are other things that matter every day for the White Sox. The booming home runs recently of Eloy Jimenez.
Yes, sir.
Yoan Moncada has stayed consistent this year. Tim Anderson has done the same. Jose Abreu is probably still on a Major League Baseball basis the biggest name on the White Sox at this point. It's just a bummer. Like, I'm looking at the White Sox upcoming series against the Yankees, and I just want to know when is Lucas Giolito pitching again? And he's not pitching tomorrow. He is pitching.
I'm going to be at the game tomorrow.
It is an Ivan Nova night. See, that's what it is. Like, when Sox fans are heading to a baseball game, and they're like, who's pitching? It's Manny Buñuelos. Oh, it's Odris Amer Despaigne. Where did they find that? It's Ivan Nova. And, again, no offense to these, especially Nova. Like, Nova's had a good career. You know what I mean?
I expect to see Eloy and Tim Anderson out there, though. That's going to be fun.
But, man, there were all these placement facilitators for the Cubs, too. You know what I mean? Right before they pounced on the National League Central, you had a bunch of guys that were filling in that you knew were not, like, let's face it, Edwin Jackson, although he was handed a lot of money, he was not going to be there when the Cubs were winning one way or the other. So that's what I think when I think about the White Sox. And why in the world were the White Sox off today? Today is Wednesday, right? I get my days
messed up. It is Wednesday.
Yeah. Wednesday. So they've had a couple of Wednesdays off now. I was looking at their schedule. They have a Friday off as well. What has happened? I mean, I suppose it's okay, but I need my baseball days off on Mondays and Thursdays, or else it just messes with my system.
And just as a quick side note, I will not take any more John Jay slander from any other caller. callers here. John Jay is my guy.
What's going on?
He was my guy when he was with the Sox. Well, he was just a part of when they were trying to make the big Manny Machado deal.
Oh,
they brought in John Jay.
Yeah.
And, you know, just a few kind of, you know, hangers-on type folks who knew
Brothers-in-law.
Or were formerly neighbors of Manny Machado or whatever, yeah. or have met him in a shopping mall somewhere. Let's just sign anyone who's interacted with Manny Machado before. But they did it all at bargain basement prices, so it didn't really matter. It didn't cost him much. So I don't mind that. So, you know, whether John Jay ever, you know, does anything great for the Sox, which he probably won't. But I love me some John Jay.
Yeah,
I loved him when he was with the Cubs. He was that guy. Yeah, and to me, you know, the guy who's going to show up as a pro every day, give you pro at-bats, he's not going to do anything that really threatens the opposing outfield. That infield better be ready, though, because John Jay is going to be on it anytime he's going to hit a ball. The infield has no idea where he's going to spray it. So he's a pro, and I think he was something that was adding something positive to the Cubs lineup while he was on the north side of the city. So him being signed by the south side, I had no issue with that.
He's a quintessential, at this point in his career, he's a quintessential roster addition to a good team.
Yeah.
And I think that he, for a good team, or even in this case, the White Sox, because of what you're talking about, because he is a professional, I can tell you from being around John Jay every day when I was doing Cubs pre and post, that he was. Like, there's very few guys who I've come across in sports. Like, we always put the word leader on people. Like, and I think that people do that from the outside without even knowing what they're talking about sometimes because they don't really know what's going on inside a clubhouse. And, like, somewhere along the way, a long time ago, that tag was put on Anthony Rizzo. And I think it was put on him in, like, what was it, 2013 or 14?
Probably 14, when he basically took
on the entire Cincinnati Reds dugout where he went up there.
Oh, specifically that.
Yeah,
okay.
He chested up to them and was kind of yelling at everybody. Said, that's our leader. That's our guy. Right. That's our leader. And Anthony Rizzo has slowly grown into the leadership role. But in the time that I was with the Cubs, in terms of your vocal leader, like the type of guy that you think of, not the guy that leads by example. I hate hearing that. It's such a cop-out. how do you lead? I like to lead by example. Whatever. That's not, you know. David Ross was a damn leader. Like,
okay.
I saw him being vocal.
Yeah.
I saw him being vocal on the airplanes, on the buses, you know what I mean? Telling, you know, everybody knew where, like, I'll give you an example. I mean, it was going to one of the playoff locales or coming back from one of them, and on the team plane, as the postseason rolls on and gets bigger and bigger, the traveling crew becomes bigger, and then all of a sudden you have guys.
Things tighten up on that airplane, not quite as much space to operate, and stretch your legs out.
Unfamiliar faces, and David Ross had to straighten it out. He's like, if you have not been on this plane before, he's like, you will move up or you will share a seat. You will not have your own. And I remember, like, even saying, this was one of my problem moments. I was like, I volunteered because I am, like, you know, I'm background, man. I'm lucky to be on that flight. And I said, hey, I'd be
and
happy.
And you're Mr. Rogers. You're a super nice guy.
Well,
you just got to play your role. You stay out of the way.
Of course, man. I mean, right. I had to play the I'm just happy to be there role. And so I volunteered. And I don't remember. It was either Rizzo or he goes, no, you're out here all the time. You can stay. So I was like, that's a leader.
There you go.
That's
right.
A leader. You know, and I saw.
He had my back. He's a leader. That's all I needed to hear.
That guy's a leader.
He's
right
pro Grody. That's all I need to know about him. He is aces with me.
John Lester is a leader. Jason Hayward is about as vocal.
Are you just naming people who've said nice things to you on the Cubs now? Is that what's happening? Just listing everyone who's, like, patted you on the back before.
No.
Really love your work, Mark Grody. You know what? That dude's a leader.
Jason,
that's a leader.
Oh, I just love that, man.
So am I a leader because I complimented your look the other night on the orange carpet?
You became a leader.
Yes,
good. You know what? Here, a couple
that's what I was
happened.
Shooting for.
You became a leader, and we became a team.
Yes.
We became a team that night.
Yes,
we did. We became a big-time team right there.
You're looking good, Groats.
Yeah, thanks,
I must
man.
Say, you were looking good that night.
I was glowing. So are you, by the way. I forgot to return the comment. And I just, like, I'm so used to seeing you look good.
Well, that's the thing. I'm accustomed to looking good. But
yes.
It was really nice to see you in your glory, like just strolling around the orange carpet, just strutting into the room with your blazer on, had your hair did. It's like, all right,
did,
look
man.
At my guy Groats.
Well, somebody from the Bears organization said to me, like, kind of looked at me in shock and said, they said, seriously, this is like in the year that I've been around, you said, this is the nicest, but he said, by far.
By far, like, put the emphasis on
right,
it.
Right, as if to say, and I was like, ooh, and I said this to him out loud. I said, wow, this must mean I really am looking shabby the other time. And,
right, the other 364 days of the year.
And yeah. He didn't disagree with me. He's like, yeah, well, you know, and I'm like, oh, man.
The other 99 years and 364 days since the last Bears anniversary celebration.
The problem is here's what it is, Big Ant, and maybe some people can relate to this, that I've lost a lot of weight recently. Like, I got real fat over, like, a last year and a half. Like, I've been in pretty good shape for, like, 10 years.
Was it the Bears beat? Did that do it to you?
No, man. It started, I think, at the Cubs beat. Like, it was a long process. Like, it wasn't like I gained the weight over. Like, it was, like,
there was layers upon layers, like, multiple organizations just shoving food in your mouth.
Seriously. Like, you get on that coach and, you know, they're you know, you get, like, when you get onto that, when I was there, at least, you get onto that plane and the first thing they do is, for an appetizer, they hand you Chick-fil-A. Like, here's a little something to get you started before you actually come around with a menu. I started saying yes to that. So bottom line is I am right now, I'm about 185. I was 223, man. Nobody needs me being fat. I don't do anybody any good by being fat. And I was, and so I didn't take a whole lot of pride in what I was wearing. I was just looking for frumpy stuff. I was buying my clothes cheap, you know, and frumpy.
Yeah.
And now that I'm slimming down on getting my girlish figure back.
You're taking some pride in your look. There we go.
I'm like,
that's what we like to hear. That's what the home team needs, Mark Grody.
Putting on the skinny guy clothes again. So cheers, Sky Point Weight Watchers. I live on a point system, so... all right, Anthony, I think I'm being told that we need to take a break.
I think so. I heard something.
Do need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to dig into the Cubs win over the Rockies today and some of the comments made by Ron Coomer as well. That is my guy, my leader.
Your leader.
Anthony Herron. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And here is Arenado batting. And look out. Arenado gets hit by the pitch. Arenado looking out at Hamels. Arenado now looking over at the Cubs' third base dugout. Arenado thought it was intentional.
Yeah, Cole Hamels hitting Nolan Arenado in the third inning. As it turned out, Arenado left the game with a left forearm contusion. We'll get into that here in a second, as there is a little bit of a history to all that went down today. Bottom of the hour was brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves would like to thank their loyal fans for making this 25th anniversary so special. Thank you, and see you in October. The bottom of the hour is also sponsored by Hint Water. Hint is pure, still, or sparkling water infused with a variety of fruit essences, including watermelon, blackberry, and cherry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in your local grocery store or drinkhint.com. Hint, mouth-watering water. Along with Big Ann Herron, Anthony Herron. I'm Mark Grody. We are here with you until 10 o'clock tonight, 312-644-6767. A lot of Bears talk to come in the top of the hour, 7 o'clock. We'll have Patrick Finley on from the Chicago Sun-Times. We talked a little bit of White Sox as they're getting ready to play. Actually, no, they're off today because it's Wednesday, and most baseball teams have Wednesdays off. They will host the Yankees tomorrow night, and Ivan Nova, J.A. Happ night is the White Sox right now. A couple of games under the 500 mark. But the Cubs today with that 10-1 win over the Rockies. We just played the highlight of Cole Hamels hitting Nolan Arenado. And Big Ant, this goes back to last night when Chris Bryant was hit twice.
Mm-hmm.
One of the times that Bryant was hit, he never looked out at the pitcher, but he did look back at the umpire as if to say, what the hell, man?
Right.
Although he probably said, what the heck? Because KB. He was like, okay. He's like, he was kind of like, it was a pretty sly move by Brian because he's like, look, I don't want to have to do anything here, so you take care of it. And the amazing thing is that throughout the last couple of days, none of the benches were cleared. However, you had a couple of guys getting hit for the Cubs today. They came in high and tight on Baez, and finally, Cole Hamels had to do something about it. And I heard Ron Coomer allude to it a little bit last night, and then he talked about it after it occurred today, talking about what had to be done. Here's Coom.
When you think about what's gone on here in Colorado, and you go back one day. Chris Bryant got hit twice with fastballs inside yesterday. Not once, but twice.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, he got hit in the head with a pitch.
That's right.
Here in Colorado. And you got a base open, and you got their best hitter up. And, you know, it's the way the game's played. It's just that simple. You know, you can say it's unintentional, but our guy is sitting next to the manager today, not playing, Chris Bryant. So if I'm Arenado going to home plate with a base open in a game like this, you know what? I almost kind of expect it, to be quite honest with you. And that's the way the game used to be played. I thought the guy that did the best job yesterday in the whole situation was Gary Cederstrom, the veteran umpire. You know, knew maybe it wasn't intentional, but you get hit twice and a star player. He did nothing. He just kept the peace and let the game continue, and the game did continue. Well,
the trainer is still looking at Arenado, wrapping some kind of a bandage, it looks like, around the left elbow or forearm area for Arenado.
Yeah, he's just trying to keep the swelling down on that forearm because he's got a big knot on that forearm. You know, this is old-school baseball. This is good quality. This is the way the game should be played. There's no doubt about it. You know, you say, well, it wasn't intentional hitting KB. Well, then have better command of your pitches. Just that simple. And you know what? To be honest with you, I don't blame Senzatella. You know, you're out there and you're getting your brains beat in, and, you know, you give up a five spot. Hey, he's playing hard-nosed baseball, too. That's all of this is okay to me. This is the way baseball should be played. Both teams playing hard baseball, that's just good baseball.
I got to hand it to, and that's Ron Coomer here on the score, talking about Hamels, you know, probably a retaliation hit by pitch on Nolan Arenado. Hamels eventually, by the way, was hit by a pitch. Baez homered after that, so that was kind of like, okay. It was pretty cool, I got to say, that the bench is never cleared. That, as Coomer said, Nolan Arenado probably should have expected to get hit. Actually, Arenado probably should have felt insulted if he didn't get hit, because that would mean that he wasn't their best player if you go after somebody else. And the fact that nobody became incensed, nobody like became irrational. There wasn't like Bud Black did come out.
But there wasn't a fracas.
No,
you know,
there
like
was
the bench
not.
Is clear, guys got chesty or anything. There like was a lot of pushing and shoving.
They kind of just went by the code of baseball that if your best player gets hit, one of your best players, Chris Bryant, gets hit twice.
Mm-hmm.
Once, okay. Twice, that's another thing. And then let's not forget that it was last year in Colorado when Chris Bryant got hit in the helmet. Remember that? Where he gets hit and then he kind of walks towards the Cubs dugout, and Joe Maddon gives him a big, like, he cradles him, he hugs him. Anthony Rizzo comes over and kind of gives him a little hug. And I don't remember if he eventually came out. I think he did come out of that game. But there's a little bit of a history there. So I thought Coomer nailed it, and I thought both the teams they just expected that was going to go down today.
And the way things went down between yesterday and today, I don't really have an issue with it. To me, my big issue is when you're hitting a player, when you're hitting an opponent, for doing their job effectively, for besting you, and then so the next time you come up, because you've hit several home runs, I'm going to hit you. So if, let's say, Chris Bryant hit a couple of home runs. Like if Chris Bryant was hitting lately, like over the past week, like Kyle Schwarber or something like that, and they said, you know what, let's get this guy out here, let's bean him multiple times in a game, I got a little more issue with that, because Colorado is hitting him because he's playing so great in that particular moment. You hit a home run last time, so I'm taking you out. I got an issue with that from an old school baseball standpoint, but because a couple of may have gotten away, you know, maybe it did or maybe it didn't seem purposeful yesterday, but just because you got our guy, we're going to get your guy today. I don't really have a big issue with that. My thing is I'm going to throw a ball at your head or even throw a ball at the small of your back because you hit a home run. That I take issue with.
And by the way, we have to take a break here again, but to the texter who said from the 773 that they're telling me that Monday and Thursday are baseball days off. I know. I was making fun of the fact that they or out loud wondering why in the world the White Sox have had Wednesdays off. And man. I'm all for change in baseball. If we want to start having Wednesdays and Fridays off, that's fine. But it just messed. Like, I had to look three or four times today when I was checking the White Sox. I'm like, are these misprints? The Sox are off today before they take on the Yankees?
I'm going to be on the South Side tomorrow. I'm going when they take on the Yankees tomorrow night. I'll be out there.
Ivan Nova against J.A. Happ.
Yeah, exactly.
You missed Lucas Giolito, C.C. Sabathia by a night. The Giolito of the 2.28 ERA. We're going to talk a lot more baseball later on, but after the break, come back. We're going to talk about the Chicago Bears as they head into day three of minicamp tomorrow. And we will be joined by next Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times to talk about the Bears on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bears.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.